will show the world what the ultimate bioweapon looks like when I let loose Mike the Birdman Dodd and the rest of the Twig crew upon Chris Redfield and his unnervingly hot little sister. Oh. Oh, yes. Right here on this weekendgeek.net.
Hey guys, welcome back to another exciting episode of The Prototype. I'm Jamie J.J. Johnson, and I am joined by...
someone who's not dead, despite my Twitter and Facebook claiming otherwise.
I don't know, you might be a zombie. What proof do you have that you're not a zombie, Dodd?
You know, I don't have a really good answer for that, actually. I really don't. So, hey guys, what's going on? It's been a while. It's been about a week and a half, 2 weeks since Con Bravo's episode came out.
Yeah, we've been having this, like usual, our schedule is always, you know,
it's just
have some
summer.
Conflicts. It's mostly because of summer. As soon as winter comes, we're literally going to be sitting here going, we need to record stuff because we have nothing better to do.
Exactly, we're snowed in anyway. Actually, it's kind of nice because during this time off, as we often do, we always talk about what we've been playing. I've actually been playing a lot of stuff for a change.
Really?
Which is kind of nice. Like, I'm not doing these for rads, because I'm pretty much only doing rads on games I really care about or games I really want to explore again.
Oh, yeah.
So, what I've been playing this past summer, more or less, Red Dead Redemption. I'm going through that again. Man, I forgot how much fun that game was.
It was a good game.
Especially when you put on the cheat codes and use the Mauser machine pistol, everyone becomes your bitch, which is basically Han Solo's gun. I've been playing through... Elnay Noir. I think I'm on the arson desk now, so I'm almost at the end of the game again.
You know, I've never actually played that game.
Oh my god, such a good game.
I've heard good things, but I never got around to it.
Although, doing some of the extra challenges is a little bit of a pain in the ass, because the map system is not nearly as good as, say, GTA's, or something like that. Although, it's kind of neat, though. You see how these games evolve, in terms of which game, like, you see how it's changed from Grand Theft Auto 5, or sorry, Grand Theft Auto 4, to L.A. Noir, and you can see how they took some things for Grand Theft Auto 5, stuff like that. Also been playing a lot of Titanfall, finally Generation 7, on my way to Gen 8.
Hooray!
And you know what's weird? Because you and I were actually talking about this. The community for that game is really up and down.
Yeah, I mean, well, there was a new set of map packs and a new big update recently, and the community all came back for it, so...
I'm really glad, though, because that's a game... I play that for at least an hour and a half a day, maybe 2 hours, because my wife loves it. She really does.
It's almost like they know when the community is going to fall
wane.
Off, and
yeah.
They're like, okay, here's the update, everybody come back.
Yeah, but I'm really glad. At Gamescom this past week, they announced the third... DLC pack due out in sometime in the fall. I think it's called IMC Rising.
We get that with the season pass too.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Because yep. I did buy the season pass. I don't buy it for too many games. That one I was like, yeah, may as well. But speaking of summer, we do have a fan in the studio right now because it is hot in here.
Yeah.
So if you hear anything, that's what it is.
Speaking of fans. Do we want to do the contest winner now or afterwards?
We'll announce the contest winner, like, maybe mid-show.
Okay.
When we...
So don't worry. Someone has won Zelda The Wind Waker, which is...
The Wind Waker HD for the Wii U.
Which we are talking about The Legend of Zelda today, finally.
Yay!
But anyway, what have you been playing?
I've actually been playing... it's a game... You can get it on Steam. Well, I don't know if you can get it anymore. There was a free weekend. It's called Nosgoth. It's
is that the game based on Legacy of Kain?
Yeah, it's in the Legacy of Kain universe, but it doesn't really have a storyline directly related to like the other games. It's just it's in the world that entire series was based on. So essentially, it's just like a versus multiplayer.
Oh, weird.
I'm not sure where in the timeline it is. I'm fairly sure it's after Kain is gone, because there's some references some of the characters that. So, like, when you're playing on the human side.
So, is it after Raziel or not?
Was Raziel after
Kain? The dude with the face thing.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, was he after Kain? No, he's before Kain. Like, he's while Kain is reigning.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah. Kain kills him, and he comes back as... whatever that thing is.
Yeah. I'm fairly sure it's after all of that, because one of the human characters, as you like start a match, he'll say, "Kane is gone. It's our time to rise," like mm-hmm. the humans to take yeah. power back, basically. So it's an arena style multiplayer game where you just play as either humans or vampires. Very similar to Left 4 Dead.
Okay, weird.
Except better. Like, I love Left 4 Dead, but this game is fucking amazing. It's very balanced feeling. So as the vampires, you're mostly melee versus the humans being mostly using ranged. So using bow and arrows, using crossbows, machine pistols, stuff like it's very old school, right?
That's weird. Sounds kind of cool though.
It is very cool. So they had a free weekend, so you could just download it on Steam and play. And I don't know if you can still download it or what, but I can still play it, even though I only had a weekend pass. It's allowing me to continue playing the beta, so it's awesome.
So why complain, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you can, like, you can go onto Steam, just search Nosgoth, and if it's there to download, just do it, because it's got a very League of Legends feel on the upgrades and all that, where you can buy them just by playing the game, or you can actually give them money and just get unlocks quickly.
Yeah.
Which I obviously just play the damn game. Other than that, you know, the usual little bit of Final Fantasy 14. All the different games that I test for the store. I was actually playing The Matrix for GameCube.
The Matrix, what is it?
It's just Enter the Matrix.
That one I really like. I really like that game.
It was really odd because I was just testing it for the store, and I played like 15 minutes, and I'm just like, this is actually pretty entertaining. Like,
it's really fun.
It's not like just a knockoff being like playing as Neo or anything. It actually chooses two characters.
Ghost and Niobe.
Yeah. And, it was a shame because the reason I played it for so long, one, was I was being entertained. Two, there was a nick in the CD that I was like, I need to play a little bit and see if this is going to stop. And at around the 15-minute mark, it just stopped playing. I couldn't read it anymore.
So the disc is trash?
So I was like, fuck, I have to trash this one.
Aww.
And I don't think it's worth enough money to get the CD actually repaired.
No, because that game was pretty common. Although,
yeah, I think it's like
cool,
$5. But, yeah, I mean, I was very surprised that I was entertained by a GameCube game.
You know,
especially a movie-based game.
It's one of those games, I think, that gets a little bit of a bad rap. Yeah, it is kind of repetitious. But the fact that it opened up this really cool hacking mechanic...
I didn't even get to hack anything.
Oh, my God. I sat there. I was referencing, like, how to, like, figure out what the commands might be. So I've got fucking Unix books open. I'm trying to figure it out. And obviously went way too far with it. But it was a lot of fun back in the day. I remember getting that for pre-order before The Matrix Reloaded came out. And I wanted it because you beat it, you get a preview for Revolutions, which was different than the one you saw in theaters.
So
totally awesome.
Anyways. I've also been playing little bits of each of the Zeldas. As many of them as I have because of this episode. We've been researching, getting ready, and it's been a long time coming. We're very sorry for this taking so long. We were going to do it, like, what, 2 months ago?
I'd say about a month ago, but then Egoraptor released
his
sequel.
Yeah, Egoraptor's released one, and we were just like, you know, we
don't want to ride the coattails?
We don't want to ride the Ocarina coattails, so we wanted to research the rest of the Zelda series. So this episode is going to be all about the ridiculous Zelda timeline and all of its games.
Now, we're going to get some of this wrong.
Yeah, we're going to go from
I'm a very casual fan with this thing.
So am I. Like, I love Zelda, but I do not know the fucking ins and outs.
See, here's the thing. I used to love Zelda. Doing research for this episode makes me realize how much I don't like the series. By the way, feedback at thisweekingeek.net/MikeSucks.
Slash Mike Sucks.
Because you know what? I don't like Zelda anymore. I really don't.
See, we're going to have a great episode.
Well, I guess let's start at the beginning of the beginning.
Well,
first experiences with Zelda.
Okay. And other than that, as we're going through this too, most of the information that we're going to be following for the timeline is actually from the Zelda Historia timeline. Just there's a big fucking graph with how everything works. So if we get something wrong, it's because we read this wrong or interpreted it wrong. So feedback at This Week in Geek and yell at us. Correct us on the Facebook page. We really love when people message us or even just post on the Facebook page. I'd love to get the likes up to like 100.
Yeah.
You know, I might do some sort of contest where we can get up to 100 likes. Tell your friends.
Yeah, yeah. If we can do that, I'll see if I can give stuff away out of my personal collection or something.
Yeah, I mean, I've got stuff from the store that I can always put up as long as we reach maybe some stretch goals.
Yeah.
Anyway, so our first experiences for me was actually the very first Zelda. Zelda 1 for the Nintendo. It is actually the first game I ever fell in love with. I was probably like 5 at the time. I would go to my aunt's, and she had a Nintendo, and the only game that was in her library that I gave a shit about was this shiny gold cartridge. Put it in, and I started playing Zelda. I'd play it for hours on end. I would lose track of time. It would be the point where my mom had visited and be like, okay, we gotta go, and I'm like, well, hold on, I just gotta do this. And my save file was always there. They let me have one of the 3 slots for whenever I came over, which was, you know...
All the time?
No, it was only, like, maybe once a month, so I'd always have to, you know, try to remember where I was, because you played the first one, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Very fucking confusing as to where everything is, unless you have a guide or a manual. What was your first experience?
Once again, beginning with the original Zelda, the game came out in 87. I think I played the first one in 88, 89. I was maybe 8 or 9 years old.
I wish I had your talent for remembering dates.
I remember the night that I beat it. This is one of the first Nintendo games I actually legitimately beat. I think I referenced a Nintendo Power once or twice.
Honestly, don't think I ever beat it as a kid.
It was really cool beating this game. I just remember the main reason I loved it, and I guess I should have realized I was going to go in the sound design then. I loved the sound of Link's sword shooting. Or when it hits a bad guy, just that very wet spooch sound. I love that.
It does have a really odd sound, though.
See, I want like that to be it. My
like
text tone.
A sword slashing or anything. It's like that.
Yeah,
weird
it's very.
I was playing
wet.
It earlier today,
and it's a sound that I fell in love with, and mostly because of the animated series, which at the time was airing on Fridays next to the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Oh God!
Which this thing I think only ran like 13 episodes, and I more specifically remember the stupid episode where the king, where Zelda's dad opens a fucking water park. And the fairy sprites are all upset because it's diverting water from their natural springs, and the fairies are all pissed off, and Ganon's like, I can take advantage of this! But yeah, I played the first Zelda. My favorite one, though, was Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link.
What?
Which I still
haven't
beaten.
You actually enjoyed that one?
Love it. Love
Holy
it to
fuck.
Death.
That game is so ridiculously hard. And so different from every other Zelda.
See?
It is a fucking side-scroller.
Actually, there's a play-up on YouTube. A guy speed-ran this game in just over an hour and a half. And how he does it...
I'm gonna bow down to him, then.
Oh my god, the way he does it is so friggin' brilliant. I just want to talk about this dude for just a second.
He just cheats?
No, he does it legit in one sitting.
Really?
What he does is he won't... he goes around and finds the items which increase your health and your magic and everything, but he keeps banking his experience points, right? So when it says, get 200 experience, get life 2 or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
He banks it. Whenever you beat a palace, it'll bring you up to the next level. So what he does is he maxes out his attack power first, and then he stops with, like, I think, like, attack 4 or 5 or something like that, then spends the experience points which are banked, it gets life and health, then he beats the other palaces and gets his attack up to level 8 or 9. By the time he's in the 6th palace, he could kill that dragon in about 3 hits.
Holy shit.
Or the asshole with the giant mace that's in the graveyard. Yeah, he's dead in under like 10 seconds.
Crazy.
It's insane! I'm like, holy shit, kid.
See, and that's something for anyone that hasn't played Zelda 2, it actually has experience points and RPG elements where you actually level up. So you can, like you Dodd was saying, you can spend your level up points into your attack, your magic, or your health. And no other Zelda that I know of has done that. At least not to that degree where it was so RPG-like. The original Zelda was a lot more about exploration and almost like wonder. Like it was kind of like, we're going to throw you into this game and...
just look around.
Yeah, look around. Like you literally don't start with your sword or anything. And there's just this black hole in the wall. And you're like, well, what the fuck is that? I got to walk into that. And as soon as you go in, there's just this old beardy guy. And he's like, look, a sword. Take it.
It's dangerous to go alone.
Yeah, it's dangerous to go alone.
Which take I guess, this. You know what? That's actually a pretty good transition point to announce our winner.
Yeah, because that was the question for this. So we had a bunch of entrants, and what we ended up doing, we used a random calculator to just choose, like basically like taking a name out of a hat, but digitally, rather than you know us fiddling with paper and a hat, because... Technology, woo!
Exactly.
And the winner is Thomas Ferguson. We're not going to message you because we need to know that you still exist. So we want you to message us and just say, hey, I still exist and I would love to get that Wind Waker HD for the Wii U. And as soon as you do that, we'll send you the code. We'll respond to that message.
If you do not respond, we will draw a new name. On, say, August 30th?
So that gives you 12 days. We're going to be airing this ASAP, right?
Yeah, so. Pretty much. If you got the graphics done, I'll do it, like, today or tomorrow.
Yeah, it's all done, ready. Ready for a little while. All right. Like I said, we're a little late on this. So, yeah, if you don't respond by the 30th, so plenty of time to have heard this episode. If you haven't responded by then, we will do another draw. And it'll be in the next episode. So yeah, make sure you message us. And for anyone else that didn't win, sorry, there will be more contests eventually.
Yep, we are working on it.
We'll work on some light contests and stuff too.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what did you like about the original? Because the original's where it all starts, right?
Yeah, I think.
Like, what is your the hugest thing about it that sets it apart from all the others?
For me, I like how non-linear it was in an era when games were very linear. Go from point A to point B. The fact that I think
go
it was
from the left to the right of the screen over and over and over. Yeah. Mario. Yeah.
And I like the fact that this is, I think this is the first game that had battery backup. Like the first game that you could actually save
files. Yeah. Funny you mentioned that though. Not the battery backup, but the non-linear.
Because Metroid was the other one before, but that was password based.
Yeah, the funny thing about it is the entire design idea behind Zelda was they decided, let's make something that is completely different from Mario. When they were designing the two, they were designing them somewhat side by side, and they said, is this a Mario element or is this a Zelda element? And they tried to make the games like complete opposites of each other. That's why it's so non-linear versus Mario being linear. Mm-hmm. And I think that's actually one of the favorite things that most Zelda fans have about the original, is that you literally could just go to any dungeon in whatever order you wanted. Like
it may be super hard or super easy, depending.
Yeah, and like nothing was holding your hand. It was legit just like, go do shit.
Although certain items you did need to progress.
Yeah, but
there were ways to sequence break if you wanted.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's many ways. And it was one of those things where you always, anytime you found something, like you can walk into like the second cave that I usually find and it's got a blue flame and you're like, well, what's that do? It's a candle, probably burns things.
Yeah.
And then you find a place where it's like, there's trees blocking the way. They look all like decrepit, like they could probably catch on fire. Hey, I should go buy that.
Yeah. And it worked. I mean, there were so many neat things about the first one. The fact that you could use bombs to blow holes and shit. You could use boomerangs to, like, capture things. I don't know, there was... I liked the fact that there were so many items, and the fact that the whistle could, like, whisk you away to, like, different places. There was just... There was a great sense of wonder about the first Legend of Zelda that I absolutely loved. And the thing is, I felt in the second Zelda, I liked how it went to a side-scroller. I really did, but I could still explore, too. There's a lot of hidden shit in that game I didn't even know existed.
Well, apparently, I read a thing about when they were designing that one, they wanted it to be a lot more about the sword play.
Yeah.
So it wanted to be more about sword fighting than the adventure itself.
Which and the down thrust is that. My favorite move in any video game, by the way.
Yeah. But at the same time, it is really fucking hard to fucking, like, Because you have such a tiny sword in that one.
Well,
at the start, at least. Can you get a bigger sword?
You don't, but your attack power can go up.
Yeah.
The thing that set that game apart in terms of difficulty is you have to go through a place in the game very early on called Death Mountain.
Death Mountain.
And you do not have a lot of life or a lot of really powerful magic. Yeah. You are boned if you are not aggressive. So you have to grind. You have to run through that or know exactly what you're doing. But yeah.
When I was playing the original earlier today, I thought about it because the way games work nowadays, it's always working up to getting more powerful items, etc.
Mm-hmm.
I found it very interesting. Like, I had completely forgot that right when you get the sword, you can shoot sword beams.
Yeah.
As long as your health is full, you can shoot sword beams. And I was like, I could have swore that was an upgrade when you got the Master Sword.
Nope, that was an ability that was in the first two. I don't think it... Was it in Link to the Past?
Link to the Past?
I don't remember.
I think when you get like either the Master Sword or one of the higher powered swords, you can start doing it, but you don't get it right away. I know that.
Yeah, I don't remember. It's been so long. Which, that's something I kind of want to get out of the way, because I know I'm going to get hate mail for this.
We're going to get a lot of hate mail and a lot of... No, we're just going to get a lot of hate mail.
Well, it's funny to look back on the Zelda series, because I always considered myself, for years upon years, to be a big fan of the Zelda franchise. And looking at the Hyrule Historia timeline, which is, frankly, so ridiculous.
Well, it's funny because when I came over the other day, and we were going to record, but then we decided to do it today, you were like, I just got to see the timeline, and that shit is fucked up. And I tried to explain it to you how it works, which I'll try to explain it when we get to the part where it bridges.
Yeah, I mean, there's a great quote from Alf. That's right, the talking puppet.
Oh, great.
Where he's like, why must you needlessly complicate everything? And that's how I feel about Zelda.
That's a very good way to put this fucking timeline.
I mean, honestly, the only games I care about are Link to the Past, The Legend of Zelda, Link's Awakening. Basically, the hero is defeated timeline.
Where the world has gone to shit, you like that timeline.
Yeah, it's the only one that I care about, because I liked Oracle of Seasons, I liked Oracle of Ages. Those games I actually got locally for like $5 a piece.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are the only games I cared about, because those are the only games I played when I was younger. And Ego Raptor brought up this wonderful comparison between the Link to the Past and Ocarina of Time,
which are basically considered to be the two best Zeldas by most fans. Most fans will either love one or love the other or love both, but like they always have one that they like most.
Mine, it's definitely a Link to the Past. Do you know what made me not like the Zelda series?
What?
3D.
Really?
And Ego Raptor really kind of put it together in really, really good terms. He's talking about the whole Z-targeting system. I like the idea of an enemy, if it's on the same plane as me, I can hit it. Yet, if it's above me, I know it's above me. With the Z-targeting bullshit, you have to hit it right on. And sure, it made swordplay revolutionary for the N64.
See, I find this very interesting that you really enjoyed Zelda 2, which was based on swordplay, but you don't like Ocarina of Time, which is... also based on
Sword. Ask me how I feel about Skyward Sword.
Probably as much as I feel about it.
Yeah, fuck you.
Okay, that game... I will say that the swordsmanship using the Wiimote, really cool idea. Give me a fucking option for the controller, though. Because after... like, we're gamers. For a casual person, yeah, they'll turn it on, play for an hour, be fine.
A Zelda game's not something you play for an hour.
Yeah, a Zelda game to us is, let's play it for 8 hours, fucking 24 hours, whatever.
Yeah, it's something you want to have a time.
I swear that I am starting to get carpal tunnel just because of that fucking time period where I tried to play that game. I didn't beat it.
My one hand is stronger than the other, and not for reasons that you might think.
Okay, then.
Anyway, yeah, it's just when the series went to 3D, I stopped caring.
Yeah.
And I've tried to get an Ocarina of Time. I've got it for my 3DS. I had it for my N64. I don't care.
See, the funny thing is when I played Ocarina of Time as a kid, it was revolutionary. It was fucking amazing. Zelda came to 3D. I can do sword fighting. It was an amazing fucking experience. I go back and try to play it now, and I'm like, holy fuck, this game is so slow. And the camera angles and everything are not as good as I remember. Like, it's actually just a very frustrating experience.
It's enough to drive you right up the goddamn wall.
And the only thing that continued, like, I went through and I beat all the way to Goma, so the first dungeon boss. I did that earlier today because I was testing a Ocarina, not Master Quest. No, Zelda Collector's Edition, which has, like, a bunch of the old ones on it. It's got Zelda 1, Zelda 2, Ocarina, and Majora's Mask. And I was just trying to make sure the CD worked, so I was, you know, casually going through each of them for 15 or so minutes. And I stopped and played that one further because of nostalgia. But I really just kept being frustrated. I'm like, Navi, shut the fuck up. Hey, a treasure chest takes 10 minutes to fucking open to get a heart. Whoop-de-fucking-de. And I don't mean a heart upgrade. I mean just one to heal you.
You know, like, what bugged me about the most about Zelda? And it's such a shallow reason. I hate being King Link. I hate it. I really, really hate it. That's what turned me off about the Ocarina of Time. And every time I try and play it, is I get frustrated. I'm like, I don't have the attention span to stick with it long enough to become awesome Link with Epona and the awesome shield and the awesome sword.
See, it's funny because in most instances, like most of the games, you are actually a kid. But except in the 3D ones.
This one makes you feel so underpowered.
Well,
I feel like a pussy.
I almost feel like they want that, because then when you become Adult Link, you're just like, yeah, I'm fucking amazing now. And it's just that sense of wonder that, hey, now I'm not a little bitch.
Yeah, but it's like, hey, now I'm frustrated and I don't care.
I guess for anyone listening that hasn't played every game, we should, like, especially if you haven't played Link to the Past, we should probably explain the differences between the two. Without going into too much detail, because, I mean, honestly, if you really want a good detailed why Ocarina is not better than Link to the Past, or why Link to the Past is not better than Ocarina,
we should just post the link to the
Yeah, Eagle we'll post Raptor a link thing. To Eagle Raptors, because he did Eagle that really well.
Like, yeah, like, it's really well explained.
He's definitely a fan of the Zeldas and how to explain that. And he was trying to explain it the best he could so that he would get the least hate mail, but he as well as us, know that
it's just
people
the way
are going to be pissed.
Yeah, and it sucks, though, because I feel like I should hate myself for not loving everything Shigeru Miyamoto and Koji Kondo has done. Now, I'll admit, the music for every Zelda game I love.
There's
been very rarely a bad video game score, in my opinion, for those games. And the sound design is almost really good for all of them, too. But it's the gameplay.
One of my favorite four sound design is Link to the Past. It gives you, at the very beginning of the game, there's a fucking thunderstorm.
It sounds
good. You're storming the castle. Everything just sounds so good and gets you into that atmosphere. And it's a fucking 16-bit game. So they needed that. Honestly, a lot of the 16-bit games, like the Final Fantasies and everything, it all comes down to their sound design is what ends up really getting you into the game.
Yeah,
the game mechanics and gameplay obviously further that.
But. Yeah, I mean, if you know how to push it, it's really, 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 really well done.
Yeah.
And with Zelda A Link to the Past, they gave you enough storyline that it made it really cool. Like the whole War of the Seal and using the Seven Sages to seal Ganon away and everything. It was really cool. It caught my interest.
Well, the thing about A Link to the Past that always catches me every time I pop that in to start to play it is that the very beginning of the game uses extremely little words. It just throws you right into the action, gives you that atmosphere that you're just like, shit, something's wrong and I have to be the person to, you know,
shit is
fix
going
it.
Down and I will save it.
And like you find, I think it was his uncle.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I couldn't do it. Here's my sword.
Go finish what I couldn't. You
know, yeah, go do what I couldn't do. And at the time, as a kid, you're just like, oh, he's just, you know, gonna lay there, whatever, but, you know.
He died.
Clearly, he died. And you're like, holy shit, this guy just died. But then you have, like, this epic quest where you're just like, I'm storming into this castle, and I'm gonna save the fucking princess right away, right at the beginning of this game, after all this atmosphere is built, and versus, like, Ocarina of Time.
I didn't feel
kid.
Like a hero.
Yeah, well, at first, you really don't.
You're just a pussy.
I mean,
kid.
You don't feel like a hero until you become an adult.
Which I think that's
which is
what
like
really
30 minutes into the fucking game, at least. Like, if you're really fucking fast, it's 30 minutes into the game.
See, that's what turned me off of Ocarina. I didn't feel... It's not so much a sense of power. I didn't feel like what I did mattered right away. And I know that's a really shallow reason for not liking it. But I've tried at least once a year for the last 10.
See, like I said, as a kid, the game was fucking amazing. As an adult who has played all of these different adventure games, you go back to it, and it is not aged as well as people think in their minds. Because every time I go to play it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I fucking love this game.
And you're like,
ugh. And then you're just like, 15 minutes in, you're just like, Navi, please just shut up. Why can I not just hit start and skip all of this dialogue?
Listen!
And, like, I played through the Kokiri Village, and it was just like, okay, go get the sword. Nobody's really going to explain what the sword is, so that's cool, because I actually have to find something. And it's like, okay, gather all the rupees to get your fucking shield, and every person you talk to is basically giving you redundant information that's... you can't skip it.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you finally get Navi, and it's like, she's going to tell you every little thing, except... only half of it you can not choose to listen to because you don't have to push the button. It's just one of those...
It's frustrating.
The difference between the games is basically hand-holding.
Yeah.
The 3D era is where they've really started to hand-hold people.
And that's, I think, why I started... like, I liked the idea behind Majora's Mask, for example. I thought that game was cool.
Majora's Mask is one of those that... it was built on the Ocarina engine... and it doesn't hold your hand, so a lot of people don't like it, and then there's the key people that actually like it more than Ocarina of Time. I enjoy it more than Ocarina of Time for the sole fact that it just throws you in as, like, go do shit. And you have to kind of figure things out on your own.
And you have a time limit.
And you have a time limit. The thing I don't like about it is, as a completionist,
trying
to find all the fucking masks and all that, like, it, I mean... I'm not saying I don't like it for the... like, obviously, that's the kind of content I want. Mm-hmm. But it's fucking annoying. It's a good annoying.
One of the games I went out of my way to find... and I got lucky, I found it for, like, $30 at an EB Games in the middle of nowhere... was Twilight Princess. I went out of my...
for the GameCube or Wii?
For the GameCube. Because I hate the Wii's controls.
See, I got it for the Wii... and I played, I think, 15 minutes of it, and as soon as it started shoving motion controls down my throat, I was just like, I don't really want to play this anymore.
If there was a game that was ever hurt by motion controls or gimmicks, it was Zelda. And a game that works with motion control is Donkey Kong Country Returns and Super Mario Galaxy. Yet you'd think a game like Zelda would work perfectly because of the sword play. It's annoying because it happens so often.
Yeah, you don't realize how often you swing that sword as Link.
Yeah.
So when they give you the, you know, you are now swinging that sword, it's just a pain in the ass. It's not fun. For the first hour. And then you're just like, God damn, can I stop fucking jerking off my wrist here over and over and over swinging this fucking sword?
See, I would pay $5 to give me the option to use a controller.
I would pay $50.
Yeah, like,
if
here,
just
give
just
me the
like,
option.
Hey, here's a collector's edition where you pay an extra $50 to be able to use a controller.
Done.
Fucking done. Here's $100.
Yep.
I will give you that $100.
Which I know someone's yelling at our screen, no, you shouldn't have to do that. Give me the option.
Give me a
control option.
It's actually very interesting. I think it was yesterday or the day before. I was reading a news article about how game developers really don't cater to the handicap.
Yeah, it's true.
There's very few companies that actually have all the options, like for color blindness, for being able to change your controls around for people that have maybe damaged
cerebral
hands,
palsy
or so
that.
They can't do, like, to remap your buttons.
Well, there's a friend of mine, I think his name's Mike Blanchard. He's over on the Geekcast Radio Network. I think he's got cerebral palsy. He's got some kind of a disease where he can only use his one hand, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he's really good at Grand Theft Auto 4.
Yeah.
But only for the PC, because it's mapped out. Because
it allows you to change your controls, yeah.
And yet, I'm thinking, man, I don't know if I could live as a gamer being handicapped. And I've actually met people at PAX. Like, PAX East, there's this wonderful organization called Able Gamers, I think that's their name. And they try and raise awareness for handicapped gamers. Now, I identify myself now as handicapped because my knees are shit. And me playing a Kinect game is not going to happen. You're not going to see me playing Dance Central.
Yeah, it does not cater to the way that you are.
Yeah.
You can play, you know, controller-based games, but yeah. not stuff that's going to use that fucking motion thing.
Yeah, and it really kind of sucks. Yeah, a game like, say, Just Dance caters to me because it only tracks the hand movements.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, sure, it's tracking your whole body, but it only really tracks your hands.
It only cares about the hand movements?
Yeah, because if you play the game with move controls, for example, on PlayStation 3 or whatever, it's only tracking your hands. Same with the Wii. It's only tracking your hands. I don't have to get up and dance to fucking whatever the music is. It just tracks that, and it's still fun. In fact, I honestly really enjoyed the Just Dance games because they're not as technical as, say, Dance Central, because it caters to the whole handicap thing. But we're getting off topic.
Yeah, back to Zelda with the whole motion control thing. One of the biggest arguments I always have someone, like, when I'm arguing about this, people are like, well, you can't get the directional slashes without the Wiimote. And I go, really? Have you played Ocarina or Majora's Mask? If you hold the Z targeting, he will slash horizontally. If you don't, he slashes vertically. If you hold it and push forward, he stabs. You don't need to fucking swing your wrist around to do that.
You know what game I think got swordplay right and has for the last couple of years? Metal Gear Rising. Revengeance. That got swordplay down. See, honestly, I would love to see a Highlander game built on that engine. But no, the sword
Zelda built on that engine would be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, give me that precision control with a fucking controller.
But yeah, so back to what Zelda we were talking about for Link to the Past versus Ocarina.
Yeah.
Because we kind of branched.
Well, I think the fact that Link to the Past, it progresses at a nice pace.
Yeah, it's not slow. It's just the right speed, and it gives you that sense of exploration, adventure. You have control on it. Ocarina of Time feels very linear.
It feels bigger in scope.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's mostly because it's a 3D world, so everything is bigger. But I guess I would almost say it's almost an illusion because it's slower as well.
Yeah.
The one thing it does get right, though, is that swordplay, which it is based around. So the bosses and everything are great. There are certain fights against specific enemies that are just amazing fights. But then you also get the enemies that it's literally hold your shield up, get hits, then attack. Hold your shield up, like block,
then
attack. It's just, and there's so many of them that it's just that exact same thing, which Eagle Raptor explains all this, so we won't go too much more in detail.
Yeah.
So the big difference between them, obviously, is the 3D aspect.
And it's what killed it for me. And like I said, I feel like such a bad Nintendo fan because I should love these games. And that's the thing. As a gamer, as a culture, I really think it's drilled into you. You must love Mario. You must love Zelda. And I guess you could make a case you must love Mega Man, right? Anything out of the NES era. Those are the three franchises I feel you should love. It's hard to argue against them.
Mega Man, I wouldn't because casual gamers might not enjoy dying over and over and over and over.
But
it's the hard version of Mario, basically.
Yeah, but I think of at least Mario and Zelda as the two Nintendo franchises you should know and love.
Yeah.
And yet with me, after the 16-bit era, I felt left behind. Now, with A Link Between Worlds on the 3DS, awesome.
It's because it's a direct sequel to Link to the Past, which you enjoy. And the thing is everyone that grows up, you will have a specific Zelda that you played and loved. And there's going to be a lot of other Zeldas that you don't love. So going on to the next games, actually, I'll say one note before we move from the Ocarina and Link to the Past.
We have to talk about this timeline bullshit.
Well, the note that I want to say here is, for anyone that is very angry at us for saying that Ocarina is not the best thing in the fucking world, and if you're still listening, because some might have just turned it off.
They're like, oh, fuck you guys.
Screw you guys. I really think you should go back and play it. Like, go play it today. If you have a copy, go back and play it. And tell me I'm wrong. Tell me it doesn't feel a lot slower paced and just a lot more less entertaining than it did when you were a kid.
I think nostalgia goggles play a big factor, especially with Zelda.
Because like I said, when I went back to play it, even today, I was just like, oh, fuck, I remember this game being so amazing. And just it was 15 minutes of like, fuck me.
Just let something happen.
Like, I would really like somebody sitting here beside me to talk to while playing this game.
it's frustrating.
And it's not that it's a bad game. It has great things. It has bad things. But it was just like, it's the nostalgia goggles. Remove them, please.
It's one of those games.
Yelling at us.
I think it's one of those games you really got to be in the right frame of mind and not. And notice how I say mind and not mood. Mood. I don't know.
Mind and mood are pretty close.
I consider mind to be, you understand this comes from a different era of game design. And it really does. With mood, that changes all the time. The right frame of mind, like, for example, going back and playing Call of Duty 1. Try playing that now. Or going back and playing Doom. Yeah,
it's fucking horrible. Hell, and go back and play Final Fantasy 7. It makes your eyes bleed.
It's because the game design, I guess, the idea has changed so much.
Game design evolves over time.
And
with the
Zelda
way we like
is,
things.
I think, one of the best series for changing things up constantly.
Oh, yeah, they're almost never the same.
Yeah, which is cool.
Well, some of them borrow
elements
from each other.
Share,
yeah.
But it's almost consistently something new for you.
See, and this is why I generally like a lot of the handheld versions, because they follow the, like, the 2D style. It's not 3D usually.
Yeah, the 2D ones, I think, are a little bit more fun, especially the ones that are handheld.
Yeah.
Like, one is, I really, like I said, I enjoyed Oracle of Seasons and Oracle of Ages back when we come from the Pokemon school of thought.
See, they were amazing at the time. I haven't gone back and played them, so I don't know if it's going to be nostalgia goggles on them, but it was really cool. I had Seasons. My brother had Ages. So playing Seasons was basically, think Zelda, but now you have elements in the game where things are based on seasons. So if there's snow blocking the path, you can jump on the log, play your, or like use your wand or whatever to change the season into, say, summer, and the snow will be melted. Hey, your path's unblocked. So, and it had a lot of those where little subtle things,
yeah,
where you had to actually think about it, of what season you should be in. And there was key places that you could change the season, so sometimes it wasn't just as easy as, hey, snow's blocked, fucking change it to summer.
Yeah. Another one I liked was The Link's Awakening, especially the ending, because it's such a downer. That was, I thought, was really, really smart. Which, I guess you could make the argument against me. Well, why didn't you like Ocarina and the three timelines? Okay, please, let's just get this out of the way. Zelda timelines. There are three of them.
Okay, let me explain it. I'm pretty good at explaining it. Scroll up on that page so I can actually
see. Here's where Mike gets frustrated.
Okay, so scroll right to the top. It starts with Skyward Sword. Oddly enough, I actually thought it was further in the timeline originally, until I saw this timeline. And then apparently Minish Cap is next, and then Four Swords. I haven't actually played through all of either of those games. And then Ocarina of Time. So Ocarina of Time is where the timeline of Zelda splits into three fucked up paths. So basically, the Hero of Time, which is Link, if he is defeated, creates the Dark Timeline, which is called the Hyrule's Decline and the Last Hero on the official timeline. This is the timeline that Dodd likes. So Dodd likes that the world got fucked.
It's true. I like apocalyptic things. It's true.
Then there's two more timelines created. Actually, so in the defeated timeline, it's A Link to the Past, Oracle of Seasons and Oracle of Ages, and then Link's Awakening,
and then
after that, it becomes Legend of Zelda and The Adventure of Link. So that's where basically Ganon is one. So in most of those timelines, the world has a lot of fucking issues, and you have to defeat Ganon. In the other two timelines is where Link has actually won. He beat Ganon, and then from what I know, I might be wrong about this, but the two different timelines is there's the adult era, where basically if Link stays as an adult, he doesn't go back in time to live the rest of his life.
You just fucking shit
over.
Up.
It becomes this timeline where the hero of, it says, the Hero of Wind and a New World, Ganondorf is revived and Hyrule is sealed and flooded, which causes the Wind Waker.
Well, no. That's that era, the adult era, as I understand it, is where, that's where Zelda doesn't have Link. Link has gone back in time. which means that's Zelda, that's a world that doesn't have the hero, because that's called the era without a hero.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because Link is gone now.
Okay, so that's the one where he goes back.
Yeah, basically, you know what this is? It's Dragon Ball Z.
Wait, okay, so this is alternate dimensions then. Yes, he actually goes back in time, and then this is what's happening.
He can change his timeline, but not hers.
It's three different universes, basically. So in the adult timeline, he's then gone. He saved the world.
But now it's up to Zelda to rule it.
Yeah, Ganon fucking is revived, fucks up the world, floods it. Wind Waker happens. And then the Phantom Hourglass happens, which, as far as I know, both of them are very similar.
Yeah.
In the fact that the world is flooded and fucked up. And then, apparently, a new continent gets discovered, and the Spirit Tracks happens.
Yeah.
I never played Spirit Tracks, so I have no fucking
idea. We reviewed it, like, 5-6 years ago. I don't remember anything about it.
Oh. So it couldn't have been too amazing. And then, so the third timeline is the one, the child era, so I guess this is where Link actually is.
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, that would be the real timeline. Well, the timeline that you should be following, in theory, because it follows Link.
It's the most successful timeline.
I guess.
In essence, because Link has gone back, warned Zelda, but hey, bad shit's gonna happen, be ready for it.
Yeah,
and Ganondorf dies, and then Twilight Princess happens, and then Ganondorf comes back, and Vati, the Wind Mage, or Wind Sage, or whatever, is brought back to life. And I don't know...
Which is done via Majora's Mask, then Twilight Princess, then Four Swords plus Hyrule Adventure.
Yeah.
Because Ganondorf is reincarnated and Vati resurrected.
Yeah.
Yay! So basically, the next game, in my opinion, I'm hoping that it comes after that.
Yeah.
Like, it should be in that timeline, but you never know.
I'm waiting for them to squeeze in Hyrule Warriors in here.
I think they said Hyrule Warriors is a standalone.
Oh, thank Christ for that.
I think they actually said, hey, we're going to have one Zelda game that's not
just
in there.
For fun.
It's literally just for fun. But the one that they've been teasing with the really nice graphics and the amazing art style, I really enjoy it. I'm not even sure what kind of art style that is. You can look up the new teaser trailer for the next Zelda. Basically just Link shooting something with an arrow. Well, possibly Link. Could be somebody
else. It looks cool.
Looks really cool, yeah. I think it's going to be in that timeline. The reason for this is the world did not look flooded.
So
it can't really be in that timeline, as far as I know, unless it's in the new continent or whatever that Spirit Tracks
is. I was about to say, yeah, do you think it's in the new world Zelda, I guess you could call it?
I'm really hoping it's in the Majora's Mask timeline. It's, I don't know.
Well, it's funny, the fact that...
It would make sense.
There's a documentary on Game Trailers, which is like across three or four different parts, and they had said it's taken fans and Nintendo 30 years to figure this out, because fan theories have been floating around for decades.
Well, yeah, until Nintendo's just straight up like, we're going to print the real thing, here you go.
And even then, it's
still confusing as fuck. Like, you can look it up, just go to Google and type in Zelda timeline, the first image. It's still confusing, even though it's laid out, and you're just like, like, it's less confusing, obviously, but it's one of those things where they couldn't just say that they were all standalone games.
Yeah, it's like, people wanted that continuity, and I'm okay with the original, with the hero is defeated storyline, because to me that makes the most sense.
Well,
but it's like, Link lost against Ganon? And well, then A-Link, the War of the...
Because
yeah, A-Link.
The thing is one of the misconceptions a lot of casual people have, which I had it for a long time too, is that it is not the same Link through all of these games.
Yeah, it's
It is literally just the Hero of Courage,
yeah,
who happens to always be named Link.
And Zelda is descended from some goddess, and they all happen to look similar.
It's the Princess of Hyrule
in Skyward Sword.
They have the bloodline of the goddess or some shit, which they always are attuned with the Triforce of Wisdom.
Yeah.
And then the asshole is always the Triforce
of Power. And then the Triforce of Courage is always hidden away somewhere.
Well, it's either hidden away or it is hidden within a child named Link.
Yeah. I don't know. It's
or whatever you name him.
I mean, the Zelda storylines, I wanted to be more excited. And I haven't been since A Link to the Past.
I think it's one of those things where everyone's going to grow up with their Zelda.
Yeah.
And because they drastically change how the story is, because there's three timelines.
See, thank God they've never done this with Mario.
Oh, fuck. Mario doesn't make sense anyway. It's a fucking plumber eating shrooms, beating up fucking turtles.
Who rides a dinosaur.
Who rides a dinosaur. Think about that. Seriously, think about that.
And honestly, he's allowed to mess around with Peach and Pauline.
I still think that he's just in the friend zone with all of them. I don't think Mario gets any pussy, man.
I think Luigi does.
Yeah, Luigi's the one fucking railing them off.
That's right. That's why he gives you that fucking death stare at the in fucking
just
Mario
like,
Kart 8.
You think Mario's the hero? Well, I get all the fucking pussy,
That's
man.
That's right.
All
shit. Comments can be sent to. Anyway.
Just go to the Facebook page. You don't even have to yell out something this week in Geek.
Yeah, now I'd like to point out Jamie said it, not me. I don't know. It's another thing that I like about Zelda is I like how the characters have been used in other franchises. Smash Brothers.
Smash Brothers is probably my favorite rendition of Link.
Yeah, next
Zelda,
to Link
not
the Past.
So much.
I've never been a good Sheik player, and I've never been a good Zelda player. Although,
Zelda's OP as shit if you know how to use her.
But
she
here's the thing,
really
though. Both of them, or all three of them, I guess four of them. There's Link, Toon Link, Sheik, and Zelda. I don't think they're anywhere near top tier. Which, in my opinion, you'd think Link would be fairly high up. Yet I know Marth can fuck his day up.
Well, the thing is with Link, the way you think about him, he's basically a hero that is a swordsman hero that is very good with automatically adapting to whatever weaponry he is given.
Yeah, he's got his hookshot, his boomerang, the bomb.
And throughout every adventure, he just is very quick to pick up how to use all of his equipment and exploit weaknesses. That's all his thing. Like, he figures things out and he beats the enemy.
Yeah.
But he's just not as good as you'd think he would be in Smash. And I'm not saying you can't be amazing with Link. We're
just
saying things
like, if you
like,
fight a Meta Knight, you're done.
Yeah, it's like, why is he not designed to be a more top tier? Like, it might just be an oversight, because Super Smash Bros. Is like, they want to have fun with it, right?
Yeah.
The competitive play, I think, accidentally evolved from it. Like,
yeah, I'll say this, because I used to play competitive Smash for about 2 years. And it's one of those scenes where, I don't know, man. It's very, very competitive.
Fox
it's,
for the win.
I like Falco more.
Yeah.
That's because I've played really high-level Falcos, and they're phenomenal. And Star Wolf's kind of fun,
Falco,
too.
And he will demolish my Star Fox
so
hard.
I play Pit, and I know Pit's maybe mid to low tier, but I love that character.
I love... Is he low tier?
Oh, yeah. He's like 17, I think. The last time I checked
really?
The rankings. Yeah.
I'm so good with Pit.
I will annoy the crap out of you with Pit. Which I'm so looking forward to Smash, just saying, when that comes
speaking
out.
Speaking
like
of Smash and Zelda, do you think they're going to use whatever this new Zelda's model is for the Link? I haven't actually, like, I'm sure it's already been revealed of what uniform he's wearing and all that, but I haven't looked at it.
If not, it'll be some kind of an update available, which I really
probably
hope,
be the Skyward Sword one.
Which I really hope they do. Now, this is going to be a really weird comparison. In Mario Kart 8, I don't know whether they're giving it away or just it's happening. There's an update coming in like a week or two where they're going to give you new Mercedes-Benz cars.
That hasn't already came out. I've seen so many people posting it. It's like, really? Really?
Well, I'm hoping for Smash Brothers they give you the ability to update costumes. Because Nintendo, I can't think of a lot of Nintendo-specific DLCs.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice if they gave you more costumes than what you can unlock. Like, Mario's got his NES golf outfit.
You know what I would like to see? I would like to see Link in Mario Kart.
I'm kind of surprised they haven't opened up the Mario Kart to include other characters like that.
Like, just as, like, a DLC or something.
Yeah, like, I'd pay $5 to play as Link, or...
It's arguable that Donkey Kong is part of the Mario universe, but at the same time, he has his own universe.
Yeah.
So, why not bring Link
I'd kind of like to have them open it up, kind of like, not...
He's not really cutesy. Maybe
I was going to say, not like Mod Nation Racers, or not kind of like... Sonic Adventure. Not some of it. Kind of like Sonic All-Stars Transformer.
Nintendo Racers.
Yeah.
Why not? Why the fuck not?
I mean,
Nintendo Kart.
Yeah, I mean, that could be really fun. Or make it like... a pre-order exclusive. Here, get X amount of characters, and then they release it down the road. Like, I think a Nintendo Racer could be really fun. And that's something Zelda has never really jumped outside its genres. There's not, like, Zelda Golf. But we are getting Hyrule Warriors later on this year.
Which so many people have been, like, flipping out on, being like, this is fucking dumb, this is going to be horrible. And it's like...
Dynasty Warriors with Link, who cares?
Yeah, they finally jump out of a genre and make a game that sounds amazing. Fuck it. Okay, I don't care who you are. Dynasty Warriors is fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's not something you're going to play fucking 24 hours a day.
See, I like Dynasty Warriors Gundam.
I love that.
Because you know what it is?
Amazing series.
It's a hack and slash with a paint job. And Hyrule Warriors is a hack and slash with a paint job. Who cares? It's going to be fun anyway.
It's going to be fun. It's not something that you're supposed to sit there and play for 8 hours straight.
Yeah, and it's
you
not
literally
some...
pick it up, hack through Ganon's forces, and fucking
you're done.
Link.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad Zelda has remained relatively consistent in that regard. Although, another thing I wanted to mention is I'm really surprised by the lack of other Zelda stuff. I mean, I know there was a Zelda manga and comic book series. There was the animated series, but you haven't seen Nintendo produce any real content since there was the Donkey Kong Country cartoon series, there was Kirby's cartoon series.
Nintendo's very
protective of their IPs.
Protective of Zelda, in my opinion, because I think this stems from, the CDI series?
boy, I'm looking forward to bombing some Dodongos! There's one, I think it's
worst.
In...
games ever.
The best is Zelda, the Wand of Gamelon. You fight this one blue mage or whatever it is, and you
kill him in one hit.
Yeah, you kill him in one hit, and he's like, "You've killed me." And Zelda's like, "Good,
good,
good. You're fucking dead. Good." It's so funny. Or there's just everybody looks fucking crazy in those games.
Funny but horrible.
And the controls are terrible. I mean, honestly.
If you don't know about the CDI games, please look them up on YouTube.
Yeah, just don't buy them.
Zelda CDI, yeah, do not buy them. It is not worth the money.
It's, yeah, they're rare, but they're not worth it. They're so bad.
They're rare and probably worth, I don't even know what they're worth.
Probably about 50, 60 bucks, maybe. Maybe
they're
more,
worth
maybe
about more. A quarter to me.
Yeah, I...
Because
they're
not
a Zelda-themed
good.
Coaster.
A Zelda-themed coaster? Yeah, that's a good explanation for it.
It's, I don't know, and that's... I don't know why, especially with Nintendo being so big in Japan, give Link a 3 or 4 animated series OVA. Make a really cool Zelda anime for like 3 or 4 episodes.
I would love to see that.
Tell Ocarina of Time. Now, Zelda, The Legend of Zelda, has a wonderful merchandising history. There's a company called, I think they're called First Four Figures. They did this really awesome light-up Samus. There's another company called Figma. They do some really neat stuff.
I haven't really seen much Zelda stuff.
Oh my god,
though.
There's some really cool Zelda statues out there. In fact, talk for 10 seconds. We'll try and find some shit.
Well, this is one thing I've actually been trying to work into the episode, so I'm just going to come out with it. And let's just say Dodd is wearing these very spiffy pants. They are black with pink flowers. Very flamboyant.
See, look at that.
Oh, that's, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to know what we're looking at, you can just look up, what did you type in?
Type in First Four Figures with the number 4, and just type in Zelda. Then there's the pre-order, which is Dark Link.
Oh, he doesn't really look like Dark Link.
Or sorry, that's Gold Link, sorry.
Gold Link.
And look at this. This is on eBay right now.
$1,100.
And people will pay it.
Probably.
There's the Master.
5 available.
There's Ganondorf statue.
These are amazing. I did not know these existed. I thought there wasn't much for Zelda stuff. But
say, you want to talk toys?
Apparently, I didn't look too hard.
You talk to me.
Or I saw these prices at some point and just forgot about them. Anyway, back to the crazy timeline. Well, we don't really need to talk more about the timeline. You literally just look it up. It's fucking nut. What the fuck is that?
That's Professor Layton holding Link while he pukes.
Oh. That's awesome.
He's had a very rough night.
He had one too many potions. So, the games that I have not played are the DS ones, and you said you played them, but don't really have any memories.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're kind of forgettable.
Yeah.
Phantom Hourglass has some neat ideas behind it. Same with Spirit Tracks, but I don't remember enough to care. And that's the problem.
One thing about all the handhelds, they basically play all the same with different little gimmicks of how they work. So you get specific equipment or powers that are for each game. One game that stands out, though, is the new Link Between Worlds for the 3DS.
Yeah.
It is a phenomenal game.
It's short.
One of the few sequels to a past game, which is for A Link to the Past. Which, the only real difference between A Link to the Past is, once again, some of the powers and equipment you use. It's not even on that timeline, is it?
Which one?
Zelda Link Between Worlds.
No, because Hyrule Story was printed like a year and a half ago.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, is it... like, where does it fit on the timeline?
I don't know it well enough to tell you. I don't know.
Because it's not the same Link in that game, right?
I don't think so.
I don't believe so. It's the same area, like, part of the universe and the same, like, town. But I'm fairly sure it's a different Link yet again. What are you looking at now?
Oh, just looking up something.
Okay. So, I'd love to go in-depth with every single game. One, haven't played them all. Two, we don't have enough time in the world for that. We've gone over most of the things that we wanted to go over.
Damn it.
Was there anything else?
Not really. I mean, like I said, I wish Zelda...
We went over all the things we wanted to cover before the show, and I'm forgetting them, because it is like 4 a.m.
Well, one of the things, I wish Zelda had more media. Like I said, a good comic book series, a good animated series. I mean... the fact that there's now quality programming on things like Netflix and Hulu and on demand otherwise. I mean, if Nintendo could put out fun animated features, that would be really, really, really cool. And the Zelda universe is ripe for it. And they don't even have to be especially violent. And it's like the only one
that hasn't gotten something from.
Yeah, I mean, I think
Kirby Right Back At You is actually pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fun show. And with Zelda, you could do it serious.
I would love a serious anime based on the Zelda universe.
Yeah.
It'd be fucking epic.
And I would even be okay if they did it as its own separate universe and draw in points from whatever they want. I mean, maybe start it off in Skyward Sword and see where it goes.
I would pay, like, well, I don't have $1 million, but I would pay $1 million to see
the next Zelda. I would kickstart a 15-minute animated short.
Well, to see the next Zelda, like the new one that's going to be coming out, to see it have an anime based around it, and for the game to not use fucking gimmicky goddamn motion controls.
Yeah,
if that game uses a damn controller, I would fucking pay $1 million if I had it.
See, honestly, if they were to re-release Twilight Princess for the Wii U with the option of using the Pro Controller, I would buy it. Instant. Yeah,
for sure.
Instant buy.
And it's so stupid because, like, there's no reason that they can't.
Yeah, I mean, honestly...
they just really wanted to push the Wii Motion Plus, because that's when it came out, when that game came out.
Yeah, because the first game that was for Wii Motion Plus was Wii Sports Resort, and they're like, oh, hey, man, check this shit out, because I think Twilight Princess was 2007, 2006, Skyward Sword was very late in the Wii's lifetime. I actually have the gold Wiimote and the gold nunchuck.
It's fucking cool.
Yeah, and that's the only reason I got it. Thanks, Nintendo.
I got mine from work when I was working at EB.
When they sent it to me, I was very happy to get a Wiimote that had the Wii Motion Plus built into it. But, I don't know. I think Zelda has a lot of missed opportunities with it to really expand out to a large audience. I mean, most people have heard of Zelda, but they don't know about it. Like, most people can name what Mario does. With Zelda, they know it's a guy with a sword. And most
they know
people
he's a swordsman that saves a princess in a castle. That's
and most
not
people think
Peach.
Zelda's the name of the hero.
Yeah.
Which, you know...
It's funny how many cartoons on YouTube make fun of that fact. Speaking of $1 million, though, earlier tonight we were talking about what you would do for only $500,000, not even $1 million. What was that, Dad?
Let's just say I'm getting on my knees a lot. Hey, it's a lot of money. I'm just saying, guys. It's a lot of money.
Oh, no. You were very specific.
I was very specific, and we're not going into that.
Okay.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying. If someone put a briefcase full of money, what the ever I just said, money in front of me, there isn't a lot I'm not willing to do.
So the question for This Week in Geek is...
What would you do for $1 million? Not what would you do for a Klondike bar.
What would you do for $1 million? And or how many dicks would you suck for $1 million?
Once again, oh my god. Anyway.
This is why I like the fact that we don't have to be censored.
All email. Man, I gotta get you a Twig email address so you can get all this wonderful mail.
I'm really surprised you haven't got me all of the times that we say these things.
Just post on the Facebook page and make fun of this stupid bastard.
Yeah, if you message directly to the Facebook page, it comes to me right away.
Yeah,
Todd usually gets it second.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, Mike, look at this. Oh, that's offensive. That's good. Thank you. What do we want to talk about next time for our next topic show?
We've thrown the odd idea up in the air. I don't have anything concrete that I just absolutely want to do right now, and I don't have any specific product to give away. So I think we can leave it up in the air right now.
Yeah, because...
And stay tuned to, like, your Twitter, my Twitter.
And the cool thing is Jamie's here, literally, as of this recording, he's here for the next week. So we just hopefully we'll record, like, a bunch of these, and we'll have a bunch into September. That's the idea.
Yeah, and as well, when... Basically, because me and Dog cannot always get together to record, I've got a little bit of extra time on my end now. I'm going to be recording... I'm probably going to call them prototype minis.
Yeah.
Just to fill in when we don't have an episode.
Yeah.
So it'll just be random topics. Probably talk with either a random buddy about maybe sports titles or something. Things that, you know, me and you don't care to talk about for an hour long.
Yeah. So, like, hey, like, here's 15-minute little bite slices.
And those won't really be announced. It'll just be like, hey, we're a little bit behind on this, so here's a mini.
Yeah.
I'm excited to do those, but...
You know what I think we should do is to kind of keep this Nintendo train rolling here? We've never talked about the GameCube as a console.
Haven't we?
I
rip on it a lot.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's something to talk about. Was it an underrated system or overrated?
Do we need a full hour to rip on the GameCube?
Well,
or
I want to know how
you
well
might
it
defend
sold.
It. I'm going to rip on it.
I'll defend it. I will gladly defend the GameCube. Gladly. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd.
And I've been Jamie J.J. Johnston. Make sure you like us on the Facebook page. It's we'll have a link in the description. And if we have anything that you want to yell at us about for this episode, make sure to post it on there too. And we're out.
Take this. It's dangerous to go alone. Thank you.